Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here today to discuss lights, camera, relationship.
Whoop, whoop. Also, everyone, if you hear an air conditioner in the background, that's because we have an air conditioner on. It's hot. Mike's always concerned about the sound. But once we make a lot of money and we can be in a fancy studio with central air, you'll never hear it again. But for now, we'll stay in Mike's bedroom uptown.
Uptown.
It's not necessarily quiet uptown.
I was going to say it, but you got there first.
Thank you.
So this originally debuted July 20th, 2003, directed by Michael Engler and written by Michael Patrick King. Our DVD recap. To celebrate the latest advance in her book, Carrie takes Berger on a date to Prada. Samantha continues her burgeoning relationship with Jerry, even going so far as to travel to Brooklyn to see him in a play. Sadly, Miranda and Charlotte aren't doing as well as Samantha in the relationship department. Charlotte is still smarting from being dumped by Harry, while Miranda's feelings for Steve continue to grow.
Was Charlotte necessarily dumped by Harry, or did she just say, like, I'm better than you, you're an idiot? Like, I don't know what that... We never really saw it, but I think it's her fault.
She had quite a hand in that.
Yeah, like watching a baseball game, yes, but, you know, telling someone...
Yelling at someone to set the date because you look ridiculous with them.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Not cool.
So it opens up with meeting the parents and meeting the Prada.
Yeah, in every relationship there comes a time...
when you take that next important step.
Carrie taking Berger to Prada.
And I had some questions about this.
Okay.
And I guess we'll discover a little bit about it later, but... When did Carrie become so wealthy that she is that much of a regular Prada?
Yeah, I mean, I think that she's always been someone who uses her charge card.
Right, but I mean, if you are someone who uses your charge card, that's different than walking into Prada and them treating you like royalty. Like, even someone who does a lot of window shopping, they wouldn't treat that way, you know?
Yeah.
She would have to be really spending money there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess is the answer to that. Yeah. But I think we find out later
about a little bit of money, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think that she's made money off of her book. And if we've established that the book happened last season,
right,
in the timeline, that wouldn't be that long.
Right, and I think really the idea is just that Carrie's in the fashion world and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, it's part of getting Prada. It's part of just the character that they're making for Carrie.
Right.
But I was just wondering that.
Yeah, she's greeted by Tony.
Mm-hmm. Tony, who is played by...
William Abetti.
Okay, and you know how I know him?
I do know why you know him.
Because he plays Blair Waldorf's biological father's partner in Gossip Girl.
Roman?
Yes.
Yes.
She doesn't like him at first, but then they like...
I look at his credits, because sometimes with these actors, if I don't really recognize them, I'll be like, well, I should look and see if I know. And he's done other stuff that I knew, but I saw that credit, and that's all that I wrote down.
Also, everyone, very important news, Gossip Girl is coming back.
Yeah, but is it a reboot, or is it a sequel?
So it's a reboot, so they're doing the same kind of idea of a Gossip Girl in a high school, but for the age of social media. So I don't know if the others will be making appearances. Probably not, but who knows? But anyway,
so XOXO. They're offered cappuccino, bottled water, and champagne.
Mm-hmm. Berger's very excited about the champagne.
Yeah. So we go from this, we cut to Samantha and Jerry.
Some spend Saturday morning shopping, some spend it sexing. And then when he gets up to put on his jeans with no underwear, she says, are you going to shower?
I want to smell you on me all night.
I want to smell you on me all night, but it's Saturday morning, so is he going to work a double?
I think maybe he's just going to rehearsal.
Oh, and then to work right after.
Yeah, or something
okay.
like that.
Okay,
yeah.
I just thought maybe he was going to work a double.
maybe he has a brunch dinner double. Also, put some underwear on. I feel like we've covered this before. I know there are people that don't like wearing underwear. I don't know. I'm never going to fully get that.
Yeah, I think, like, if you're in a underwear emergency where you're out of underwear.
Sure. I don't know. Get some more.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of the no underwear thing. I have a lot of issues. So, he's not free on Friday because his play opens. Full Moon, a new play by Jake Widd.
And it's presented by Down Under the Bridge Rep in Dumbo. The cast includes Paul Buzz, Emily Arata, Gene O'Toole, Chris Cook, and Jerry Jarrett. It's $10.
Also, there is a main street in Dumbo, but I don't believe there's a 616. That's the theater. That's the address that's given. Main Street in Dumbo is literally like two tiny blocks.
Okay.
So anyways, but there is a Main Street.
And was this before Dumbo was Dumbo?
I think this was about when Dumbo was. For those that don't know, Dumbo is down under Manhattan Bridge overpass, and was once upon a time like a factory area, and lately has become a very trendy place to live. But I think it was right around now that it was beginning to transform.
To be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she refers to Friday as TGI Fuck Day.
Yeah.
It's a kick-ass play.
Kick-ass play. Three words I hope never to hear again.
Come on.
It's in Brooklyn. I don't do borough.
Which I kind of get, because I just went to a play in Brooklyn two nights ago,
mm-hmm.
and it took like an hour and a half to get back home afterwards. Getting out there was like fine. Getting back was kind of a nightmare.
Where was it at in Brooklyn?
It was it was right near BAM.
Okay.
So there's so much transit. Like there, every train is right there and it didn't matter. It still took forever to get
home. Which is so funny because like to get to Brooklyn from Queens, I had a roommate once that was moving to Brooklyn and we drove there back and forth. And to get where she was moving in Brooklyn to where I am was like 12 minutes.
Really, truly, I'm telling you, like, getting out there took me maybe a half an hour. But it just, yeah, everything at night is terrible.
Well, 12 minutes by car. Oh, on a train, yeah. It would have taken us over an hour.
And then he basically offers her sex to see his play. Which I guess that's all it takes for Samantha. Yeah,
he will not take $300, but he will take attendance to his yeah. Brooklyn play.
So we cut to a tipsy burger at Prada. Yeah. And I do love her dress.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't Lord. At first I was like, is that a potato bag?
It's very
sack?
Different, like the way that it's sort of
and
like
then, yeah,
deconstructed.
As she walks up, and this is when I thought, when did Carrie become super rich?
Two things. One, you look damn fine. Two, I'm a little hammered.
Tony approaches Burger with that red blouse.
Yeah, and Burger kind of like recoils at the price. Do we see the price? I don't think we do.
So in 2019, a Prada men's cotton shirt at Bergdorf Goodman is $570. Yeah, but then there's another Prada like short sleeve that's $920. And then there's one about $670 now for a long sleeve. Yeah, and here's one that's $1,000. So I bet you it's about $400,
probably.
I would say.
More than I would be willing to spend
more
on a
than
shirt.
I would be willing to spend, but also less than I was anticipating.
Yeah, I was thinking actually more than that. So, okay.
So maybe even, yeah, I was thinking over $1,000, but I'm just, you know, preparing for the worst.
And then Tony wants to know if Carrie knows any gorgeous single women.
Do you know any fantastic, gorgeous single woman like yourself I could go out with?
We get to Charlotte and some fries.
Yeah, she's like, push that burger away. Yeah. Which, give it to Carrie. She'll have it all over her face in a minute. And then this is when I realized, oh, Harry and Charlotte broke up.
Yes.
Because we don't really know at the end of the last
episode. Yeah, we just know that he walked away.
He walked away. But, I mean, come on. This is Sex and the City. Who knows?
Right. So we have four ladies at brunch, and Carrie reveals she's found the impossible.
Straight, single, and works for Prada.
It is kind of a funny reveal where, like, you just see Charlotte at first, and then, like, Carrie kind of peeks around from the side.
Right. And then Miranda makes that quote, people can't move on before they're ready, talking about Charlotte, because Charlotte's like, because Charlotte mentions, like, is he Jewish?
Right. Charlotte wants to know if he's Jewish, and I can't decide if I admire this or if it annoys me.
Well, I think at this point, she's like, I did all this work.
I know, but I remember the first time watching this, definitely thinking, let it go. I don't know. Once again, because I wasn't a huge fan of the conversion storyline, I remember being like, oh, good, you don't have to worry about it now.
Right.
But all right, I guess it's kind of admirable. And yeah, I wrote, Miranda gets defensive via proxy.
If she's not ready to move on, she's not ready to move on. People can't move on before they're ready.
And it's almost like, ooh, Miranda, you are talking about yourself.
You're not talking about anything in particular, are you, Miranda?
And I think Charlotte has either worn this top before or something very similar.
Okay, I have no idea what it looks
like.
Yeah,
it's like a white top with lace on the top. I know she's worn things that are a little more, Bavarian Haas. Not as much as Carrie in the Park, but she's worn something like this.
Yeah,
before.
I mean, I think that as the seasons have gone along,
oh, of course,
they've developed a person's style.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that they all kind of wear things similar to what they've
worn
before.
I'm just proud of myself when I notice that kind of stuff.
So Charlotte just sort of wonders what her story is now.
I was married, and then I got divorced. And then I fell in love with my divorce lawyer, and we were going to get married. But then I blew it, and we split up too.
It's a complicated story. Samantha swears a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she... because they all agree to go out on Friday. Carrie's going to wear her new Prada. I wrote down, you can't go out Friday, Sam. You have a play. And Samantha says, in other words, you can insert it here because I'm a lady and I'm not going to say these things. Blank, 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 blank. I have to go to the theater.
They finally made that mandatory.
A new play in Brooklyn. Jerry's in it.
So it's children's theater.
So then we get to Miranda at home with a lot of Chinese
and
food.
And her one-woman show, I'm Not in Love
I'm
with
not
Steve.
In Love with Steve. Steve brought her cake.
Mm-hmm.
We know how much the ladies like cake.
Yeah, she loves cake. And I love cake. This show has a lot of cake.
There's a lot of cake.
This was also the height of the cupcakes trend in the world, I think.
In the world.
And I guess there's a lot of cake baking on the playground.
Yeah, I'm getting a gut from all the cupcake action on that playground.
I like that Steve, like, flashes his Audi.
Yeah.
And then says he has to go home to watch the game. He's like, I'm getting a gut. Look at my belly that has abs. You know, you don't have a gut.
And then Miranda suggests, why don't you just watch it here?
I mean, she has all this extra food.
And she pays for ESPN.
We're kind of like, oh, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
Okay. And Steve ends up sleeping over on the couch. And I did write, what would Debbie say?
Yeah, I guess Debbie doesn't live with him.
No, I don't think they live together, but still.
I mean, I think when there's a kid involved.
True.
You could say, like, you know, Miranda wasn't feeling well, or I was helping with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can, I think, probably when, especially when it's a baby.
Right.
You know, and you're co-parenting this baby as people who are not together.
Yeah.
And were never together while the baby was
alive.
Happening. Yeah, but Miranda comes out, and I just thought, like, she is watching him sleep.
Yeah.
Creeper.
So Berger worries that Carrie has a Prada problem. For the record, I tried to figure out what restaurant they're in. I feel like if I took a 10-minute walk, I would find, like, I can like see where this restaurant is.
Well, so they're on the Upper West Side because I saw the it says Amsterdam.
And that Amsterdam, yeah, it's Amsterdam Gourmet, and it's not that is not there anymore.
Okay.
Amsterdam Gourmet still exists, but is on like a corner, and this clearly was not on a corner.
So for those of you who are not from New York, the only reason we immediately said it's on the Upper West Side because of Amsterdam's, Amsterdam doesn't even start until...
like 59th or 60th.
Yeah, maybe even, yeah. So
have
like,
we done this?
I've always
wanted to give a quick breakdown of Manhattan. So yeah. if you can like picture the island of Manhattan and Central Park is right in the middle. To the west of that is the Upper West Side. To the east of the park is the Upper East Side. Just below the park is Midtown. And above the park is Harlem. It gets more complicated than that, but if you want to break it down really simply, those are like four major neighborhoods and how they relate to each other.
Around the park.
Around the park. So yeah, so we know it's Upper West Side because that's where Amsterdam is.
And so if we saw something that said like
the Lexington Grill.
Yeah, we would know it would be on the east side.
Yeah, because that's where Lexington is.
Right. It's not that Mike and I just know every single inch of New York City.
Just certain, there are certain tells.
Yes.
So, yeah, she bought him the shirt.
It's the I never say fabulous, fabulous shirt.
He says that she can't even afford the stuff she bought herself.
But then she says, yes, she can, because she has a $25,000 advance check for her book in Europe.
Yeah, she got an advance from France.
And this is when I wrote down, Berger does not like other people's successes. He is insecure.
Well, it's hard. She refers to herself, first of all, as the literary Jerry Lewis, which I think is kind of funny. It's interesting to know that her book didn't do that well in the United States, because it sort of felt like it was established that she was a big success.
Yeah, but I think that, yes, I think she is a success, but it's one of those things where we've been reading Sex and the City and the New York Star. We don't need a book of it now.
Right.
You know, and in Europe, maybe where they are fascinated by this New York City culture, that's like a cool thing to have.
And I just, well, it's interesting that you interpret it right away as he's upset about her success. Because, I mean, I just write that he sort of sheepishly accepts the shirt, but I think does a pretty good job of at least pretending to be happy for her.
Oh, see, I don't think so at all. And maybe it's just because I've known the Berger in, like, friends' relationships before, and I've seen this, but I immediately was like, Berger, you need to repeat to yourself, other people's successes are not my failures. Other people's successes are not my failures.
Yeah, this is gonna...
That's a mantra you need to write on your post-it and put it on your mirror.
So the next day, Carrie is out for a walk with Miranda and Brady. Does she refer to him as Little Lord Brady?
Yes.
And why do we think that is? I didn't know if it's just because he gets to sit in a stroller, but I don't, it was a weird.
I don't know. I'm getting.
Yeah. I don't know that it's indicative of anything. I just think maybe it's just referring to him getting to be pushed. It was a weird moment that I didn't really understand.
I'm just getting a lot about Tom Brady, which I don't think is the,
I don't think
but
so
it'll
either.
Make, Annabelle happy.
So they're on 68th Street.
So, right. So they're on 68th Street because we see Vince and Eddie's in the background, which is a restaurant that closed in 2010 or 11.
Something like that.
Even after Lady Gaga invested in it.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, I researched to find out where it was. Later on, I'm skipping over some stuff, but we'll go back to it. Later on, they pass a place called, so that was on 68th Street. Later on, they pass a place called 67 Wine, which is on 67th Street, which leads me to believe that perhaps where Berger and Carrie was somewhere right around there, because Sex and the City wasn't going to be like, let's shoot all this right here, and then we'll pick a restaurant, you know, 30 blocks north and shoot.
That's funny. I pictured it being further uptown. So it's kind of weird. 67 Wine and Spirits is not on 67th Street. It is actually on Columbus between 68th and 67th. Yeah. I'm very familiar with this Wine and Spirits place.
Sorry, I was like, my gosh. I've never seen you correct me. So, like, normally you'd be like, yeah, 67th Street's right there.
Yeah, no, it's actually between those two streets. I don't know why it's named 67th.
And if you go there on Tuesdays, they have a much better selection.
I know right where this place is.
So they're walking down the street. And they run into...
Well, first, Miranda admits that Steve stayed over.
Oh, yeah.
And that she liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's gonna get hurt.
Carrie, I can't help it. It was the most fun I've had in a long time.
And, you know, Carrie just sort of begs Miranda to tell Steve.
Right, well, I've been doing that for weeks, Carrie. Yeah.
And Carrie has, too. I mean, Carrie, for several episodes now, has been like, you have to just tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we break into our Celine Dion, Barbara Streisand duet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, I remember. Yeah, Carrie runs into Courtney coming out of 67 Wine and Spirits. And I will say, if you go back and watch this, for like, there's like a half a second before Courtney sees them, she's in a bad place.
Mm.
Like, we don't know that yet, but Amy Sedaris does a good job of playing where she
anything.
Is.
Anything.
Yeah. I also like that she's wearing Chanel earrings and a Cosmo necklace.
I wrote martini necklace.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Miranda, this is Courtney, my publisher.
Ex-publisher. I just got the boot.
And she kind of drops that Berger no longer has a publisher as well.
No, and she's making a welfare martini.
Yeah.
Yeah. Berger no longer has a publisher. They dropped Berger's second book option. But reach out to Courtney.
Yeah.
That's what she says when she has a new publisher. And Carrie, and this is the first time Carrie's hearing of this. And you can see the wheels turning in her brain like, oh, shit, what
have I
done?
Yeah, and I said now Carrie's the sheepish one.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of doesn't know. Like, should she tell Berger that she knows? Like, this is a big thing to not tell somebody.
Right. But also, you know, back to Berger, he's just insecure about it.
Yeah. So we cut to Charlotte and Anthony in Central Park.
Looking for men.
Yeah, he's just picking up someone new for her.
Yeah.
It has been 2 whole weeks.
Right.
So it's time for her to, like, move on.
Right, and the first guy he picks is just boring city. At first, I was like, why is this random extra just walking slowly across the screen? And then they start talking about him.
You don't understand what this feels like. You never... Oh, never mind.
What? I've never what? Lost the love of my life? Wrong.
So he... this is all part of his reveal that he once had his heart broken.
Had an ass like 2 scoops of butter pecan ice cream.
Yeah, it's a nice day to get laid. I feel like for Anthony, that's any day.
Yeah.
Anthony's acting like he's all choosy. So we were at the play, and I would hate this play.
The corn harvested. My youth.
Annabelle and I actually like quote this not infrequently. No, it's just like my youth
harvested.
It's so dumb. Yeah, I would hate this play.
What do you think this play is about? In my mind, it's like a mixture of Our Town
and Long Day's Journey
and maybe the Rhymers of Eldritch.
Sure, I was in that play.
So was I, but I don't remember it. We've already talked about this.
So I wrote that there are about 12 people in the audience.
Which sounds about right.
Yeah.
For that play. That's actually more than I would expect.
Yeah,
I mean, I've done sketch comedy shows, and I've done like downtown off Broadway plays with 3 people in the audience before.
It's pronounced Downton.
No, I've done a Downton play. No, I have. I mean, like, if you can perform for 2 people...
They say there should be more people in the audience than in the show.
Sometimes there's not, like...
Yeah, I also wrote that Samantha is very interested in this penis that she's already had plenty of access to.
Yeah, she's like, ooh!
Whoa!
Look at that!
Haven't seen that in a few hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're back at her place, and she's very turned on.
Yeah, and he says, what I hate, all I have to do is work on my craft.
No, it's not true. Yeah, he reveals that he quit his job. Samantha's very concerned.
Who's doing the PR?
No one. They don't have money for that kind of thing. We're getting paid like $30.
I actually wrote, this scene becomes pretty sweet as far as Samantha goes, because she asks if this is what he really wants to do.
Stand in an empty theater talking some harvest bullshit.
Yeah, I love it. I'm an actor.
Then I'm going to help you.
Right, and she does. And it's a little bit, though, like Samantha becomes his daddy in a bit. As sugar mama in a way, where she's like, fine. And this was the only time when I was like, oh, she's a lot older than him. We do find out she is older than him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know with this whole, like, I'm going to take, it's just this young actor that I'm trying to help out. I don't know. It's so weird.
Yeah, but I think in this, it's just like, whether or not she's willing to admit that she's starting to care about this person, she's starting to care about this person.
Right.
And either way, she's in a relationship with this person, and this is what he wants to do. And without throwing money at the problem, she has the resources to make something happen.
No, you're right, because normally what Samantha would do is he'd say, I quit my job. This is what I want to do. And she'd be like, oh, no, no, no. Yeah, I'm like, sorry. No, I gotta go.
And in this case, she's like, all right.
I'll help you. Yeah.
And I'm going to try to pick out some new names before we start having sex again.
Right.
Mad. Toby. Right.
So Carrie asks Berger if something's wrong and then quickly reveals that she knows.
Berger, I know.
And
I'm
he's
sorry about the shirt and check.
And he's seems more upset that Miranda knows.
Yeah.
Which I actually kind of get. Like, I feel like there are those moments where you're like, your friend knows?
Yeah, the one friend that thought I was, like, the best.
Right. And yeah, she apologized for the shirt and check. But what I wrote, he's very quick to say that she shouldn't feel bad.
I think that check is great. Don't feel bad about that. You earned that.
He knows that, and we find out later in the episode, and he says, I'm proud of you, because I think the inner conflict with Berger is that he is not proud of her, or he's proud of her, but he's not happy for her. And I think that he knows he should be happy for her, and he knows that her success shouldn't bother him. And I think it pisses him off that it does. And we find out later that I'm right.
We do. It's so funny because I guess that I just love Berger because I didn't get any of that the first time that I watched this. In fact, the scene that you're referencing that we're going to get to really broke my heart. And maybe it's because I was so pulling for him that I thought, no, see, he's a good guy. He wants to be happy for, or he is happy for her.
Right. And I think, proud. But I think also, like, I've dealt with this before and I'm a human and, you know,
I'm not.
No, you're a robot. And I've done a lot of, like, work on myself and I've seen other people do this, and I've had friends that have been with people that have been like this. And it's, you know, I always try to see the good in people. So even when this man is jealous, I know that inherently he wants to be happy for her. He does, but he just can't right now.
So she offers to talk to her new editor, but he insists he'll be fine, and she agrees that he's going to be fine. We cut to Carrie out for drinks with Samantha.
Look, when men are failing.
Berger is not failing.
Fine, when men are flailing.
Okay, yes, there's a bit of a flail.
They need strong women to charge in there and help. Like I did with Smith Jared.
Yeah, Samantha reveals the name change.
Smith Jared, which I thought was stupid. That's like a stupid name.
Well, but it sort of makes, that's why when we were on the episode before where she kept calling him Smith, I was like, did this come from somewhere? Because I was aware that he was going to eventually become his name.
Oh, that's why I was like, why are you so obsessed with it? No, it's like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which was that Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie movie. Thank you. I think it's just that idea where then, like, in this episode, she is like, oh, what have we been playing, role-playing as? Now we're just going to use that as your name. Yeah, he's 28 and making $30 a week.
Yeah, and not only is his name Smith, but she got him in Liz Smith's column.
Mm-hmm.
And Samantha got tickets to everyone for opening night. Yeah, he's 28, so he's younger than I guessed he was. Sorry.
And he isn't threatened by you offering to help?
Oh, no. He's a whole different generation. Younger guys aren't threatened by strong women having power.
And I think that there's truth to that. And I think that there's some complicated truths to that as well. So we get to her writing her column and talking about, like, as roles change, as women's roles change in society, are men's roles changing as well?
And she's in a Wendy Darling nightgown.
And we get the question. Did you write the whole question down?
Yeah. Are men of today less threatened by a woman's power, or are they just acting?
So I cannot speak for straight men of this day and age. But I do think that because men have now grown up seeing women in power, it's less unusual.
Right, of course. And I think that a lot of men, it's not that they're threatened or not threatened. I think men are just less self-conscious of how it makes them look.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I don't think that, because there's no need to be threatened. Like, no one's in a competition to be more powerful than another in a relationship. I think a lot of men are just realizing that, like, oh, if my wife makes more money than me, then that's fine. Like, they don't have to...
Yeah, I don't think that it's looked at as a strange thing anymore.
Right, I guess that's the word I'm... Great.
So we cut to Steve and Butter.
Sugar, Butter, Steve. Yeah, he's making cupcakes.
Well, Miranda's early, and she's very dressed up. But I guess that we've established that she's dressed up to go to the theater that night.
Yes.
Okay.
Steve tells her she looks great.
Yeah, and she sort of is like, baking, what's that?
Yeah.
And I want to be like, girl, we watched you bake that cake.
Yeah, you didn't know how to put it away in the fridge, but yeah. you baked it.
Wow, you really are going to score points on the playground this week.
It's not for the playground. They're birthday cupcakes for Debbie.
Yeah, we found out that the cakes are for Debbie, and Steve isn't great at math. He literally counts on his fingers, happy birthday, Debbie, and comes up with 20, when it's really only 19.
Well, maybe there's a space.
Or an exclamation point. Yeah, that's all that I could think.
Yeah, and Miranda's like, great, let's...
Let's bake these together. And then she's just sort of in it at this point.
Yeah, and I totally would do this.
Oh, I have this written a little bit later, yeah. Yeah, Steve has to go to work, and Miranda
offers... Do you want me to help plan Debbie's party?
Yeah, Miranda offers to stay and bake. This is awful. I do love that Miranda knows Carrie's number.
Well, you knew everyone's number back then.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I don't know if I did. In 2003?
Yeah, I was just graduating high school then.
Me too.
I knew everyone's phone number because I didn't have a cell phone. So what else?
I didn't either, but I don't remember
knowing
people's...
Did you carry around like a little phone book?
Maybe.
No, I know. And those people who still have those phone numbers, I still know them.
The last number that I can remember is like my home number growing up.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sure that I've memorized others since then. But yeah, I don't remember knowing people's numbers in 2003. Yeah, she tells Carrie that she can't go and then reveals why. Also, this would totally be me. Yeah. That's where I wrote it. We're like, I would totally be that person being like, yes, of course I'm baking cupcakes for the person that I love. Yeah, this totally makes sense.
It's my own fault. What did I think would happen? You would see how great I make cupcakes and be back in love with me. Damn it! I fucked up Debbie's bee!
And those icing cans are just awful.
Yeah, I wrote this as... I mean, it's hilarious. Like, I laugh at it, but it's also so awful.
And also, you know how expensive those cups... He should have just bought them, because by the time... The mix itself is cheap, but also, you don't need butter, number one, to make a cake mix. Like, it just needs, like, 2 eggs and a cup of oil.
Right.
Or, like, a quarter cup of oil. And... Each one of those frosting cans is like $3 or $4 at least, and he has about 6. Like, just
yeah,
go
he should
to
have outsourced this.
Sprinkles, or go to Magnolia.
And Carrie says to back away and blame the baby.
Mm-hmm. And then they end the conversation, and Carrie says, "I love you," and Miranda replies, "Me too."
Yeah,
which just made me laugh.
So, Carrie says that Berger's here in a cab, except he's not.
He's not. And Carrie and her purse.
Carrie has a very long purse.
I wasn't sure. At first, I thought she was holding a hanger that had her dress on it, but no.
No, that's like a 5-foot-long purse that she has with her.
Yeah, a lot of fringe. I have a friend who would love this purse.
Yeah, she has a very long purse, and he has a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had her out on the open road for a long time.
He really wants to take the bike, and I don't know what I would do. I honestly was trying to think, like, because I do not like motorcycles.
I would just say no.
I think that I would say no.
But I don't know if Carrie doesn't like motorcycles. She just doesn't want helmet head.
I think she doesn't want helmet head. I think she doesn't... that fringe is going to get caught in a wheel.
Yeah, I was really concerned about that.
This is a terrible idea, and I get where she's coming from in this moment. And I wonder if I would do the same thing, if I'd be like, oh, he's having a rough time, let's go. Yeah, it's just, it's bad.
Has she been on his motorcycle before?
We've never revealed that she has.
All right, well,
but
I mean,
she says when your man is down and out, you have to get up. And on
that bike with those hair extensions. Yeah. She has hair extensions, and that purse is a ribbon dancer.
Yeah, they arrive at quite the scene in Brooklyn, for the record. We have a glimpse of what's about to happen.
And she's pissed.
Carrie is pissed.
I told you not to go fast.
And I honestly don't think she handles this super well.
Couldn't you feel my hands digging into you?
But I get it.
I am not going to die on a bridge so that you can feel like some big man on a bike.
But it's kind of rough. Like, she's very angry. I told you not to go fast. She brings up her success and that she didn't think he'd be the kind of guy who would have a problem with it.
And he says, I don't want to be that guy.
And neither did I. Yeah. And I'm, once again, I know that I already said it, but this scene made me really sad because I really had held on to, no, I think he's happy for her. I think that he's a bigger man than that.
Well, no one wants to be jealous. You know, no one
wants to be jealous, but you hope in this moment that, once again, he can be happy for her success and know that it has nothing to do with him.
But he's not there yet. It's all very quick how this has all happened. And this might be a new experience for him. Who knows? What was his... Lindsay? No.
Lauren.
So Lauren and him, she was a decorator, right? So he never had anyone in competition with him in his book. I'm sure he got a lot of praise for being the writer. And so he's never been in this experience where his girlfriend is more successful at what he wants to do than he is. So all these emotions for him are new as well.
Yeah, it's rough though, because it's not like everyone knows that. It's not like everyone in this crowd in Brooklyn is like, oh, she's doing better than he's doing.
But it's when you're a creative person and you know that, oftentimes you feel like your career defines you. So if now in his relationship, even his girlfriend is better at his career than he is, you know, he's self-obsessed, as many of us are. And we don't want to be. And he's going to learn how to work through it, hopefully.
Yeah.
And maybe he won't be as self-obsessed. And he's trying to in this moment. Every person spends a lot of time thinking about themselves.
I know that that is true. I'm just saying that this broke my heart. This made me really sad.
Good.
And he's sorry about the bike. And even her response of she's never going to get on the bike again. I think tell him that tomorrow. Like, there's no reason for her to say in this moment, I'm never going to get on that bike again. Like, I'm not saying don't speak your truth. I'm not saying be the quiet woman. But I just had that thing of like, tell him tomorrow. Like, don't.
I don't think he cares about the bike, though.
I think that he cares about her reaction. And he says, I don't want to be this guy. And I honestly feel for him. And then he takes off his jacket and
he's
we see that he wore the shirt.
And it looks very nice.
It looks great. It's a beautiful shirt. I love that color.
And they go on the step and repeat.
Yeah.
And it's Carrie.
Yeah,
Carrie.
She used to be a party girl.
And then she said, Carrie alone? Carrie, some pictures alone? And she said, no, we're together.
What's his name?
Jack Berger. He's a writer, too.
And he takes all of this to mean that he's not important.
Which I don't get.
I just think he's already down.
Yeah.
You know
and
what I mean?
Leaves.
I think that, yeah, he doesn't, he takes off and insists that it's just not his night. And it's so hard because I have also been that person who just gets in that like sort of self-martyr place. But I feel like I was 22 when I did it. I'm sure that I've done it since then. But when you're just so upset about something that you can't break out of it.
Well, yeah, you would have just ran at this point.
Yeah. So... yeah, Stanford is there, and he says he has a bad seat. I want to be like, there are like 30 seats in there.
Yeah, there are not bad seats. Also,
I don't know where you could possibly
his terrible Barbara Streisand impression.
Yeah,
hello, gorgeous.
That is the worst Barbara Streisand I've ever heard.
When in Brooklyn, do as the Brooklyns do.
And then we cut to them seating.
Yeah, Charlotte's feeling alone in the theater.
But don't worry, her friend Tony from Prada is going to sit next to
her. Yeah, we established that Miranda's not coming, which I don't feel like we knew until this moment.
Right.
And Tony's there instead. I guess he was just free at the last minute. And, you know, Charlotte's happy to see him.
After all, what single girl in New York would turn down a gift from Prada?
All of Manhattan is here.
Who's watching the island?
And I just wrote that he does his weird monologue.
The corn.
Well, his monologue is all, you know.
The rain came down. Hard and soft. It hit the grass. Green. And wet.
And then we go to the curtain call. And I love that Smith Jared does the curtain call completely naked.
A stud is born.
Yeah, I think that he would put on something to bow.
Right, but I just love that he's just, like, dangling right there. Wiener out.
Yeah, and as they get up to leave, Samantha does notice that Berger isn't there.
And Carrie says he had a cold.
Yeah, coming down with a cold, and that's kind of where we ended. It ends a little abruptly with her just saying, like, maybe we're all acting.
Yeah, maybe I'm gonna be the woman that has to act.
But I don't think we're all acting. I think that we're acting if we're not being authentic.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with what Berger did or what he's doing. I think actually the way he's handling it is pretty healthy in a way. I think he's just hasn't dealt with this before. And right. It's hard. I think it's one of the hardest things to like try to be happy for someone who has what you want. And no one wants to feel jealous because it just makes you feel bad.
Right.
And we all act differently. And the opposite way that Berger could react, which a lot of people do, is by like tearing that person down. But he doesn't. You know, he's trying to be the better person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I don't know. I couldn't help but wonder why he didn't like put a robe on for the curtain call.
Yeah, and I couldn't help but wonder how much money Samantha spent on that opening.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if she spent that. I wonder if she just called in some favors.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that the Down Under the Bridge rep company doesn't have a lot of money.
I'm pretty sure that opening night cost more than the entire budget of the play had cost.
Oh, also, heads up. Also, a lot of people have reached out throughout this asking us if we are going to do the movies. We are going to do the movies.
Yes. I don't know what form it's going to take or exactly when.
It'll probably be split up.
Yeah, it won't be like one thing.
No.
But yeah,
don't
anyways.
Worry. We'll talk about the movies. And maybe I will even do a whole episode on what Sex and the City 3 would have been.
You just tell us your story.
Yeah, what I think would have happened. Maybe Michael join in. It'll be an improv, Sex and the City 3.
The script exists.
If you know it, send it to us. We'll read it aloud.
Ooh, dramatic reading.
Yeah.
All right. See you next week.
Bye. Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for Hop, Skip, and a Week.
And he says, I want to smell you in me all night. Smell you on me all night. Autocorrect. And then they refer to a man's butt as looking like two scoops of butter pecan ice cream. And I just always think of a friend of mine in college who used to just say, butter pecan ice cream is for old people.
Butter pecan is the best ice cream.
For old people.
It is the best ice cream. I do not care.
For old
butter
people.
Butter pecan, pralines and cream. Give it to me.
They're going to say, on Wednesday, I have butter pecan ice cream. Can someone please sit down and give me the ticket so I can pay? That's exactly what my grandmother would say.
I love it. That's my favorite ice cream.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, butter pecan. You guys, I've never seen Mike Jensen eat butter pecan ice cream.
Have you ever seen me eat ice cream?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that's true. I don't eat ice cream very often because I want to eat it all the time.
Yeah, I've seen you. We've gone and got gelato. I've taken you around a tour of Baskin-Robbins's.
If we were at Baskin-Robbins, I got butter pecan.
We went to Emac and Bolio's once. We've gone to 16 Handles.
Well, 16 Handles doesn't have that.
You've gone to Ample Hills.
Butter pecan's my favorite.
Out in my mound. My mound.
Ew. Oh, I don't want to talk about your mound.
In my...
We skipped the entire performance.
Sorry. Let's go back to the performance, Mike.
Well, there's not much of it, but we have...